Last week, we marked the anniversary of D-Day, the invasion that began the end of World War II on June the 6th. It didn't get a lot of attention because it wasn't one of the really big anniversaries, but there was some coverage of it online, and if you go online, you can find on the internet some remarkable stories of Catholic priests who ministered to the soldiers during the war and how some of the priests spent the war. Many of them ended up being martyrs for the faith, dying while they were administering the sacraments on the front lines. But some of the most moving stories I found weren't about the priests who were at the front lines, but rather the ones who spent the war behind barbed wire. They were the Catholic priests of Dachau. If you want to fully grasp what we are doing today, what we are celebrating on this feast of the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, Corpus Christi, you should hear some of their stories. Dachau, of course, was one of the most notorious death camps of the Second World War, and many people sent there were Catholic priests who were considered to be enemies of the state. The priests usually were not executed, at least not the way that the Jewish prisoners were. Instead, they were worked to death. They did hard labor. They were used in medical experiments. They were starved. They were tortured and beaten in the most inhuman ways. But in the middle of that nightmare, there was one inexplicable saving grace, and that was the Mass. While the Polish priests were denied even their most basic rights, the German ones were permitted to say daily Mass. The prisoners converted a cell block into a chapel. They ended up making their own vestments. They even made a monstrance for the Blessed Sacrament. One priest wrote after the war, "In addition to our simple wooden monstrance, we had another one for important feasts. It sparkled like real silver, yet it had been made from empty tin boxes. An Austrian communist prided himself on the fact that he made this monstrance secretly in a workshop under the eyes of the SS. Solemn divine services were forbidden, as was also every form of religious activity outside the chapel. During the day, no one was permitted to enter the chapel. But the chapel contained the Blessed Sacrament. And often prisoners would risk their lives to go there and pray. One of them was Father Marcel Pasechnik, a Polish priest who survived the camp and was able to describe what it was like. I participated every morning in a secret Mass and received Holy Communion, he said in an interview. And three times I celebrated Mass for my colleagues before our liberation. I even made visits to the Blessed Sacrament, reserved in the German priest's chapel, but you had to tell one of them the password. One time, I remember, it was Lux de Luz, light from light. And so it went until the camp was liberated in 1945. Those men risked their lives to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. They faced torture and persecution and degradation for just a sliver of communion. And for just one reason. They knew that this was more than bread. This was Christ. The one who had climbed Calvary was with them in their own Calvary. He shared their suffering. He brought them grace, and he gave them hope. There, in the darkness, was light from light. And just as he was with them then, he is with us now, here, this day, in this tabernacle. It is a gift beyond measure, a gift to die for, and a gift to live for. Do we even grasp that? Do we even realize what is being placed in the palm of our hand or on the tip of our tongue? Nearly 2,000 years ago, just 100 years after the death and resurrection of Christ, the great Saint Justin Martyr described how the faithful Christians received communion, and it was the same as we do now. "They make of their hands a throne," he wrote. "They make themselves ready to receive a king." We cannot forget that. Every time we come forward for communion, we are standing in the throne room of the King. And He is giving Himself to us. Here is our nourishment, our sustenance, our salvation, our Creator, our God. That is what the priests hungered for during the endless days and terrifying nights in Dachau. In the depths of their suffering, they longed desperately to feel a closeness, a real communion with God, to be a little less alone in their suffering. By the grace of the Eucharist, they were reminded of the words we heard just last week in the Gospel: "I am with you always until the end of the age." The Eucharist is a living reminder of that promise being kept. This morning, the Feast of Corpus Christi, we honor the one who made that promise. We prepare to welcome him into our lives, into our bodies, into our being. But as we do that, take a moment and remember those who fought and suffered and died to be able to do what we are about to do. Think of the thousands and thousands of priests of Dachau, unnamed soldiers for Christ, who fought their own spiritual battles while a world war raged around them. Many of them were sick and malnourished and starving. But they didn't make these incredible sacrifices, risking their lives for bread. They did it for the bread of life.